Scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 10. Matthew 15, beginning in verse 10. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man."
Good morning, everybody. Again, good to see you. To be successful in any aspect of life, whatever, really, education, business, family, one must put first things first. We've heard that expression all of our lives, probably. We need to put first things first. And that principle of prioritizing is also important in spiritual matters, just as important in spiritual matters as it is in anything else. We see that in the life of the Apostle Paul. I want to talk this morning a little bit about the idea of putting first things first. And so if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll start there. There'll be a fair amount of reading in the lesson this morning, just to let you know. So you might want to have your Bibles ready and at hand and follow along with me. 1 Corinthians 15, the first four verses. "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Back up a little bit in the same book of 1 Corinthians to chapter 2, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the first two verses. "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, the first four verses of that book. Romans 1, verse 1. "Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord." I submit to you that the truth contained in those verses that we've read, in all three of those sections, those things were Paul's first priority. It was the basis for everything that he did, and that needs to be true of us as well. And so this morning I want us to think about these firsts that we find in the New Testament so that we can maybe examine our lives compared to these passages and see if it'll help us to prioritize our lives or reprioritize our lives to live in such a way that God would have us. So the first thing I would suggest is that we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verses 1 through 5. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints, and this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. The first we should talk about is we must give ourselves to the Lord. That needs to be one of the firsts. One of the firsts sounds strange, but we'll talk about that more in a few minutes. The Macedonians gave themselves first to the Lord. Of course that needs to be first. When we consider what God has done for us, when we think about what He promises us, there shouldn't be any question in our mind what our first priority ought to be. We must give ourselves to Him. Isn't it true that everything is so much easier when we do that? When we give ourselves to God first, it makes everything so much better. The Apostle Paul sets a very worthy example for us with regard to that in Philippians chapter 3. I mean, the Apostle Paul was a pretty amazing fellow. In Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 4, he kind of brags on himself a little bit, but just to make a point. He says in verse 4 of Philippians 3, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, but as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. There is no doubt that Paul knew what was really important. He knew what was really important, and he first gave himself to the Lord. He had been worshiping God all his life, but when he came to the truth, he gave himself to the Lord, and we need to do the same. Another first is mentioned in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, we find the idea that we need to cleanse the inside first. Starting in verse 23 of Matthew 23, the scripture says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. I suspect that most of us throughout our lives have heard the expression, it's what's on the inside that counts. That's what's really important. The scribes and the Pharisees were so meticulous, amazingly meticulous, in keeping the ordinances of the law of Moses. They were right to do that. But as the Lord points out, they neglected the inner man. And so Paul indicates to them that they should have seen to that first. Yes, keep the law meticulously, but see to that first. Since they did not, he says to them, starting in verse 27, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which are on the outside beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And that's also emphasized in those verses that were read for us from Matthew 15, verses 10 through 20. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. We need to make sure that we clean the inner man first. Also, we need to cast the beam out of our eye. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Here Jesus says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." As Christians, we place quite a premium on the truth. And we're right to do that. We're exactly right to do that. We recognize that we're not always right in what we do or what we say, because we all sin. We all do that which we shouldn't do. We know we shouldn't, but we still sometimes do. We fall short of the glory of God. We do. But we try to do what is right. We understand the importance of doing what is right. Even when we do that which is wrong, we recognize we shouldn't have done that. We should do what is right. And because of that, and I don't know, maybe also because it is always easier to see the faults of others than it is to see our own faults, we can be tempted to be judgmental about one another. And that's what Jesus is addressing there in Matthew 7. We should first take the log out of our own eye. We should examine ourselves. I know of a preacher who I guess was responsible for putting messages in a church bulletin. And he got a note from one of the members on one occasion letting him know that he had misspelled two words in the bulletin. What was interesting about that note was that the note contained 13 misspelled words. So we wonder just how serious the man was about getting spelling right. You know, the preacher's supposed to get it right, but anyway. We need to cast the beam out of our own eye. We also must be reconciled to our brother in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 21. Matthew 5, verse 21. "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering." Can't very well have a relationship with God if we don't have a proper attitude toward and a proper relationship with our brother. James tells us, John, in 1 John 4, in verses 20 and 21, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. God will not accept our worship if we harbor animosity toward others, as we saw in Matthew 5, Jesus states that reconciliation takes precedence over worship. We should be concerned about saving others. In John chapter 1, we see a wonderful example of this in John chapter 1, starting in verse 35. "Again, the next day, John," and this is John the Baptist, "was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,'" which translated means teacher, "'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Andrew learned about Jesus, and his first instinct was to go find his brother. Go find his brother, go find Peter and bring him. I think that probably was the first instinct many of us had when we first learned the truth. When we first came to understand what the scriptures were telling us about the Lord Jesus, when we first came to understand what it is a person needs to do in order to follow Jesus, I think our first instinct might have been to try to tell everybody that we knew. Now, people who were raised in the church might not have had that experience. I don't know. But people who were not, I think it's a common thing. "I didn't know this. I didn't know that this is the way it was. I know people who don't know this. They really need to see this." It's something we all ought to do because we all know people who don't know this. We know people who need to hear this, who need to understand this. And yes, they may reject it, but we got to try to talk to them about it. It's one of the first things we need to do. It's a foundational thing. Andrew learned about Jesus. He found Peter. Growth in the kingdom depends on this, on each member feeling a personal responsibility to share the message of the Lord. It should be a priority for us. It should be one of the first things we think about doing. And we must seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. Matthew 6, verse 31. "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." I suspect that every person in here knows what it feels like to be hungry. I suspect that we know what it feels like to be thirsty. Those are motivating feelings. When we're hungry, we want to find something to eat. And that's typically what we will do, unless we're told dinner will be ready in an hour, and then we have to wait. When we're thirsty, we want to get something to drink. Can we harness those kinds of motivations for righteousness? For being what God wants us to be? Can we see it as a hunger? Can we see it as a thirst? Oh, I know that we keep our appointments with God. We are here on Wednesday evenings. We're here on Sunday mornings. We're here Sunday nights. We're here to hear the Bible explained. We're here to hear sermons. We're here to sing and praise. We're here to pray. We do those things. But when we're not here, do we still hunger and thirst for those things? Do we practice those things when we're at home? Do we talk to other people about these things? Our very highest priority should be to do the will of God in our lives, to do everything we can to bring people to Him and to try to be what He would have us to be. And that means that we're going to make every effort to heed the exhortation that we find in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, in verses 23 through 25, the writer says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Consider, he says. Think about ways to do this. to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Yes, not forsaking our own assembling together. That's a terrible thing to do, to not assemble with the saints. But these other things as well. Make it a priority to reach out to others in an effort to teach them about the Lord and His church. In doing that, we're going to be doing what Paul encouraged Timothy to do in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, where he says to Timothy, or writes to Timothy, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. And if we do this, if we order our priorities so that they are in line with what the Lord wants them to be, we can be confident that our needs will be supplied. Matthew 6:33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Philippians 4, verse 19, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So lots of firsts. Everything that we talked about was a first. How can that work? I mean, first is first. Anything that comes after that comes second. How can we think of all these things as first? Well, of course, the idea is that we're talking about a foundation here. These are the things that comprise that foundation that has to be laid. I was trying to think of a good analogy, and I could not think of one, so I have to give you the best one I got. But I think about chemistry lab. My students in chemistry lab. Students who come to lab in chemistry have their biggest motivation seems to be to get out as quickly as possible. I mean, that's just kind of the way that is. They know they have to come. They know they have to do the lab, but let's get this done. Let's get this over. Let's get out of here. You know, especially those who have lab at 7:15 in the morning. They would like to go to breakfast, but they can't do that till after the lab. But there are things they have to do first. The first thing they have to do is they have to dress properly in their dorm room. And the biggest thing that I always look out for is whether they wear the proper shoes. They should wear clothes they don't care about that much, but sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But they have to have their feet completely covered. It's an absolute must. That has to be done first. And every student that comes to the lab and doesn't have their feet completely covered, I send them out. You can go back to your room and change if you want, but you're not going to be in here without adequate protection for your feet. Another thing they have to do first is they have to have their lab coats on. I don't care what kind of clothes they wore, whatever they are worried or not worried about getting stuff on them, but they're going to wear a lab coat because I don't want things on their arms. I want them covered. Another thing they have to do first is they have to wear gloves. I purchased nitrile gloves so their hands will be protected. They won't get anything on their hands that will hurt them. They balk at things like this. They don't much want to do things like this. They want to come in. They want to get started so they can leave. No, you got to do these things first. You have to have read the lab first. I have a handout I give them where they write their data and their stuff. I won't give them that until they have read what they're supposed to be doing. Well, I don't care what order they do these things in, as long as they're all done first. And then they can do the lab. All these things that we've been talking about need to be done as firsts in our life. They're all priorities. They're all important. And they're all things about which we should be about. And of course, for any person, I guess the very first thing is to believe in the Lord. And if a person believes in the Lord and believes that the Bible is the Word of God, then the next first has to be obeying the gospel. Doing that which the Lord says a person must do in order to be saved from their sins. Maybe there's someone here this morning who hasn't done those firsts yet. Maybe you believe, though. Maybe you believe in God. But you haven't yet obeyed the gospel. Here's what he says. He says we have to believe, of course. That's not enough by itself. We also have to be willing to turn away from our sins. We recognize the Bible teaches certain things are not things Christians should do. We have to be willing to turn away from those things. We also need to confess the faith we have before men. We also must be baptized in order to have our sins washed away. This is the Lord's requirement. Talk about foundational firsts. In order to be a Christian, these things have to be done. But when we do those things, then we are a Christian. At that point, we receive the forgiveness of our sins. At that point, we are Christians. At that point, we dedicate our lives to trying every day to be what God would have us to be. First things first. And for someone here this morning who needs to obey the gospel, I would ask you to think about that phrase, first things first. Why not do that now while together we stand and sing in order to encourage you?